Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Okay, folks, hopefully the technical issues are fixed. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will try to get this show on the air. Blog Talk had some problems getting us connected. Apparently, we are connected now. So let me start by saying this. You can get in on our conversation by calling 326-6774. That's 845-326. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it. And you can hit us up in the chat room where we will take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We are very, very sorry about the delay. The host call-ins, 425. Actually, what we want to do, hold on, we're still having trouble here. I'm being told we have some trouble. Hang on. Okay, 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Some people are saying they can hear us. Some people are saying they can't. Don't know what to tell you. We're gonna try this. Let's start out with a little bit of news, because earlier this week, Ric Flair, I guess, came under fire. He had made a comment about his final match in which he had kind of indicated that anyone who criticized him was basically jealous, that he felt he was in excellent shape and did a wonderful job, and he made $300,000 and all of that jazz. And Dutch Mantel, better known to some people as Zeb Coulter, manager of Jack Swagger, in the WWE had said in an interview, I don't believe he made $300,000. I think that's over-exaggeration. B, it was a terrible match. And C, anybody who he's criticizing for criticizing that match, he should be apologizing to for taking their money. Now Ric Flair snapped back. And Ric Flair has basically called him a old, washed-up, never-was sort of a wrestler. And this is getting ugly, folks. So I don't know what's happening exactly here with Ric Flair, but Ric Flair's become extraordinarily sensitive. Now, Zeb Coulter, Dutch Mantel says he was always that way, but not to this extent that I remember. So let's be honest. Let's cut all the crap and just be honest. I don't know how much money Ric Flair made. I'm sure it was a decent amount of money, because I'm sure he was not going to risk his health for, you know, a few thousand dollars. So I'm pretty sure it was a very large sum of money. Number two, anyone who bought a ticket to that show who thought they were seeing Ric Flair from 1979 deserves to be ripped off, because you must be an idiot. You had to know what you were going to get. You had to know that Ric Flair was not going to be able at his age to participate in a match where he was going to be the old Ric Flair. So, no, I don't feel you ripped off the fans. You didn't rip off the fans, because what were the fans' expectations? You thought that Ric Flair in his 70s was going to be Ric Flair in his 30s? Is that what your expectation was? That somehow he could magically turn back the clock? I mean, if you're going to buy a ticket to that, you know what you're going to get. The idea behind it was you didn't think you were going to see a five-star match. You thought you were going to see Ric Flair's final match as a professional wrestler, and you probably did. You know, I liken this to, I think Kiss is playing their final concert at Madison Square Garden. Ridiculous amounts of money the tickets are, thousands of dollars apiece. Are you going to see Kiss from 1980? No. You're going to see damn near 70-year-old men, probably half lip-singing, lip syncing to music. And are they going to be the way they were? No, they're not going to be. Are you going to critique them and say, they didn't sound as good as they sounded in the 70s and 80s? Okay, well, of course they didn't. But that's not the reason you're going. The reason you're going is because this is it. This is the final time you will see them supposedly ever on stage. So I guess it's worth the money. Same way with Ric Flair. If Ric Flair never does another wrestling match, which he's threatening to do, but if he never does, then the people who bought the ticket got exactly what they paid for. They paid to see Ric Flair's final wrestling match. They saw it. Whether it was good, bad, horrible, fantastic is irrelevant. Now, what is relevant is that no one is above critique. So if Dutch Mantel or some of the fans said, you know, it was a pretty lousy match in retrospect, okay, well, then Ric Flair should simply say, you know, what did you expect from me? I did the best I could. I gave you exactly what I told you I was going to give you, which is my final match. I gave it all I had. That's it. You got what you paid for. Instead, he's starting to take personal attacks on people, fans, other wrestlers he worked with. And I just think this is an ugly look for Ric Flair in the final stage of his career and in the last quarter of his life. And it's a shame I had to go there, Mike, but I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the fact of the matter is, by the way, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so,
yes.
So, it is a bad look for Ric Flair. And look, I know everybody is liking Charlotte right now, but it's not going to reflect well on Charlotte either. He needs to think about that. How is this? It's his last match, or it might be his last match, you know. But how is what he's doing now going to reflect on Charlotte, you know? And that's the thing. And if you really think about it, I mean, look, we saw what Ozzy Osbourne did, what was it, 2 pay-per-views ago. Ozzy Osbourne from the 1980s and 70s, that was the Ozzy Osbourne of today, all right? He didn't look the same. He didn't sound the same. They had him lip syncing anyway, so you know it is what it is with that, right? That's what you got.
Right.
That's what you're gonna get with a Ric Flair. What is he? 75 years old, something like that.
Yeah,
78, 76, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. So what do you think you're gonna get from Ric Flair, Dutch Mantel? Now, Ric Flair needs to quit being like a millennial or whatever it is. You know, he needs to get over himself. Don't be so sensitive.
Thing he does have to think about, you know, is this going to hurt possible relationships that Charlotte may have with people, or people who have to work with Charlotte who feel that her father, you know, hopefully it doesn't boil over into that. Hopefully people can be professional. And I usually agree with Dutch Mantel. About 99.9% of the time I agree with what Dutch Mantel said, but I can't for the life of me understand why he thinks that Ric Flair doing a final match somehow ripped off the fans. Because once again, that's almost an insult. That's almost like saying, well, fans are so stupid that when you said you were having your final match, we thought we were getting the Ric Flair that battled, Ricky Steamboat all those years. We thought we were going to get a 35-minute, highly competitive match where you were going to do all of your stuff. Well, then you must think we're stupid, Dutch. No one in their right mind thought that. And if they did, then they deserve to be ripped off because they're complete idiots. Every single person who bought a ticket to that event clearly understood that Ric Flair was going to do little to nothing. And he was going to probably be slower than molasses. And he was going to blow up instantly. And it wasn't even about that. It was about seeing Ric Flair have one final match and say, I was there the night that Ric Flair indeed had his final match. If Ric Flair tagged in, went woo, danced across the thing once and chopped a guy in the chest and tagged out and did nothing else, he was still there. Flair had his last match. Now, Flair went to the nth degree. He bladed. He took some bumps. I don't think I would have felt ripped off. I would have said, okay, he's not what he used to be. But he tried hard for us, and at his age, God bless him, I was there for the final match. That's good enough. So I'm not really buying into this. He ripped off the fans, Tom.
No, and let me just debunk or whatever Zeb Coulter, because I love Zeb Coulter as much as the next guy. But I listened to Conrad Thompson's show. I know that the show that they had in Tennessee was booked very well as far as a independent, quasi-independent show with a few big names. Ric Flair probably made $300,000 or close to it, because there was no way he was going in there to risk his life or risk his health for very little money or volunteering for charity. The second thing is I watched the match, and I did not expect as a fan, I love Ric Flair, I did not expect as a fan a 60-minute Broadway of Ric Flair versus, Harley Race, or Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes. No, I didn't. I expected Ric Flair to go in there and do what he does, because Ric Flair at 72 years old at that time did what a 70 – I mean – he did what he did, and fans loved it. Fans got their money's worth to see Ric Flair in his final match. Whether they paid $100 for tickets or $250 for tickets, not one of those fans that I know of, reading the results and whatnot after the event was over, were dissatisfied with seeing Ric Flair.
No, now Derek is saying, well, you know, didn't he have a retirement match before? Those fans should feel ripped off. I he had maybe more than one, because I know HBK and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Remember when HBK apologized to Shawn Michaels and said, I apologized to Ric Flair and said, I'm sorry, before he super kicked him and finished him off, because he was supposed to be his final match? I remember that one. I don't remember the Taker one. But I remember HBK and Ric Flair, and Ric Flair saying he handpicked HBK to be his final opponent. And I do remember Shawn Michaels standing up while Ric Flair was basically on his knees, and HBK mouthing the words, I'm sorry, before giving them the super kick and finishing them off. Yeah, I mean, again, let me say this. If Ric Flair has another match, then Zeb Coulter has a point. Because those people who paid huge money to see Ric Flair's final match did not see that. Same way with Kiss. If you're going to pay $2,000 or more to go see Kiss at Madison Square Garden, not because you think they're going to sound perfect, but because you think this is the last time ever they will be on the stage, and next year they say, you know what, we're going on another tour of final whatever, then, yeah, you were ripped off. Because you were lied to. You didn't get what you paid for. You paid to be in the building the night something important came to an end. Now, if we want to go down this slippery slope, then can I get my money back for, can the people in Saudi Arabia get their money back for the lousy Undertaker and Goldberg match? Or the horrible Shawn Michaels and Triple H versus the Brothers of Destruction match? You want me to name you how many matches? How about WrestleMania where Brock Lesnar fought Goldberg and they both refused to do anything? Can we get our money back? So before you start saying that Ric Flair ripped off the fans, you better start thinking about the people who really did rip off the fans, who were much younger and had no real reason to rip off the fans, by simply refusing to put on a match? How about the fans who paid to see, you know, Sasha Banks and Naomi the night they went to watch wrestling live and were told, ah, they're not going to compete. They walked out of the building. Is that better than Ric Flair at 74 or 5 years old doing the best he can to have a match? How old are they? How healthy are they? They didn't even put the effort into it. So before you start blaming Ric Flair for ripping off the fans, every fan that had their ass in the seat was there because they chose to have their ass in the seat. If Ric Flair hadn't showed or walked out, yes, that's ripping off the fans. If Ric Flair has another final match, yes, that's ripping off the fans. But if that does not happen, I don't care what kind of a match it was. They were there. And that's why they bought the ticket. So, Todd, I don't think necessarily Dutch Mantel is right about this.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the whole thing, this controversy with him and Flair here, I think it's always been controversy with Flair going around him a lot.
See, the thing about Ric Flair, though, is, and Mike brought this up, at this stage of his career, Ric Flair needs to take the high road and say, I'm sorry Dutch Mantel feels that way. However, I did the best I could. I gave the fans everything I had. And I realize it wasn't terrific. You think I wouldn't have liked to go out there and put on a 5-star match? I can't. I'm sure fans understood that. And I think I did the best I could under those circumstances. You see, it's kind of ridiculous. If I go to see a Mets game and they get blown out 18-0, and, you know, they have a one hit in the game, do I say, well, I'm sorry, but I paid a lot of money, and I want my money back. I think you ripped the fans off. No. They did the best they could, and they lost. Okay, well, Ric Flair did the best he could, and it wasn't much. But at the end of the day, he still did the best he could. The thing that Ric Flair needs to do, however, is shut up. Because when you say something as absurd as, you know, a washed-up old wrestler who never was anybody, that's not true. Dutch Mantel has accomplished a lot in his career and is still accomplishing a lot in his career. He said, and maybe it's right for him, you couldn't pay me enough money to get back in the ring. You couldn't drag me into a ring to compete again. Not for $300,000, not for no money. I can't do it. I already know I can't do it, and I'm not going to rip off the fans by saying I can. Okay, that's his philosophy. And he's entitled to it. Ric Flair thought he could. I want to remind people that Terry Funk was around that kind of age when he was moonsaulting into the audience. So there, and Dory Funk Jr. was wrestling well into his 70s. So don't tell me it's not possible. Gypsy Joe was wrestling into his 70s. So people do it. Whether Flair was better at it than them, I don't know. Probably not. But at the same token, he's Ric Flair. He's Ric Flair. Of course they're going to go want to see his final match. You're there for the history. I was in attendance the night that Ric Flair finally hung his boots up forever. That's not worth the price of that ticket? I think it is. I just wish Ric Flair would calm down a little bit. Now, Derek saying WrestleMania 28, or 18 it is, in 2002. Yeah, I know. I don't know when the Shawn Michaels match was. Put it this way. Ric Flair's had more than one retirement match. That wasn't even his final match in WWE. But it's a little bit different because it's hard to imagine anybody bought tickets to WrestleMania just to see Ric Flair's final match. So I don't think anybody's going to say, well, I wouldn't have went to WrestleMania if I thought that Ric Flair was going to have more matches. I don't believe that. I believe people went to WrestleMania because it's the biggest wrestling event of the year and everybody wants to be there. So even if Ric Flair did have matches past that, I don't think that's really ripping off the fans that much. The fans got their money's worth at WrestleMania because they wanted to be at WrestleMania. But if you're having a card where basically you're saying Ric Flair's having his final match and then there's a bunch of other matches that are, whatever, The reason that you're going, the only reason you're going, is to see Ric Flair the final time. The final time. That's why people went to WrestleMania. So I'm not going to fault him for that. If he has another match now, though, then that's a whole different ball of wax. And then I will say you ripped off the fans that paid big money to see what they thought was your final match. And he will be. Anyway, we have another incident. I don't remember the girl's name, but a very, very, I guess, I don't want to say minor because it makes it sound terrible, but there's a minor name in NXT, women's division, and apparently she liked a tweet. And because she liked a tweet now, she has to be canceled. You can't like a tweet. How dare you? How dare you like a tweet I disagree with? Well, I disagree with you. You know, I disagree with that tweet. How dare you like it? If you like that tweet, then I'm sorry. You don't belong in the professional wrestling business. Basically, she liked a tweet saying that a transsexual man is not a woman. Again, this comes down to your definition, folks. It comes down to your definition. She has a right to her opinion. If you want to say if someone all their whole life long felt like a woman inside, and they lived with it until they were 25, 30 years old and decided they are now going to be a transsexual and they want to be called a woman, fine. If your belief is, well, you aren't a woman, though, because you don't have ovaries, you haven't had the life experience that a woman has growing up from a little girl to a teenage girl to a woman, fine. This is a matter of opinion. It's a matter of opinion. But what I want to know is if someone said, if you don't call every single transsexual man who is now a woman a full-blown woman, then you are a misogynist, and she liked that post, would she be canceled? Or would she be heralded as a hero? See, everybody's got to get their head out of their ass. We all have a right to our opinion. And you can't be so hypocritical as to say, if she likes what I like, and I believe, then, oh, she's a hero. If she disagrees with what I say, then she can't work. She should not be allowed to work. What she said is a horrible, terrible thing. According to who? You? I know a lot of people who feel that way. I know a lot of people who feel like, well, if I want to be a woman, I don't even have to have the operation. I can just get in the dress and do whatever, and I'm a woman, and you got to act as though I'm a woman. Okay, well, that's your opinion. And then I know a lot of people who say, well, listen, the bottom line of the situation is you don't have any ovaries. You're not able to you've never had your period because you can't obviously have a period. So, therefore, how can you possibly be a woman? You're a man who transitioned into one, but you're not really a woman. Okay, well, that's your opinion. Both opinions have validity to the person who owns that opinion. But for you to say, if they agree with me, they're fine. If they don't agree with me, they can't work. That's called fascism. And I disagree with that tremendously. And that's not an opinion. That's fact. So she's apologized because what else can she do? She's trying to make a name for herself. She's, I'm sorry, I did it. Biggest mistake of your life, honey. What you should have said is, I have a right to my opinion. And if my opinion, which harms no one, by the way, because she doesn't say, oh, these people should be put in a mental institution. She doesn't say that. She just said, you're not really a woman. She has a right to that opinion. If I take anabolic steroids, and I blow up to look like Bobby Lashley times 10. And the heaviest thing I ever lift is a slice of pizza to my mouth. People have the right to say, you're not really a bodybuilder. You just took a whole bunch of anabolic steroids and stuff. That you're not really, you didn't earn it. Now I could say, I still look the same. What's the difference? I still look exactly the same. an iron so hard in the gym and not getting gains. I took this stuff and I got it right away. Matter of opinion. Matter of opinion. But I hate when I see in professional wrestling people try to cancel other people because they disagree with them in a social or issue or a political issue. It's dumb. Stop it already. Just stop it. That would be like saying, well, I'm sorry, I totally disagree with Mick Foley's politics, which I do. Totally disagree with Mick Foley's politics. I've always loved Mick Foley. I've always loved his work in the ring. I don't want him canceled. Never want to see him on TV again because it offends me what he thinks. Who cares if it offends me? See, you're not the most important people in the world. There are other people. And maybe it doesn't offend them. So there's my little rant, Mike. I'm just tired of this. I mean, this poor girl basically has to genuflect in front of the mob because she happens to think that there is value to the point that a woman should be a woman, and that if you don't, she feels that if a woman, you don't have the life experience of a woman, you can't just automatically say, I am one day. That's not something you should be canceled for. That's just an opinion.
This smacks of what happened to Jackson Riker. Just for saying he supported President Trump, right?
Right.
That's exactly. I mean, it's a different. It's a kind of a different thing, but it's kind of the same because basically, where has Jackson Riker been since then?
Yeah, nowhere.
You know?
Right.
Nowhere. And I don't want to see, this poor woman who probably hasn't gotten her shot yet, or maybe has and has blown it, or I don't know. I don't want to see her career cut short before it even gets started, if it ever does get started.
If it does, it's terrible. And the thing is, what makes me feel worse about this, people have a right to call her out. I'm not saying you don't have the right to call her out. If you want to write on her tweet, I think you're totally wrong. I think that's very insensitive what you said. You have a right to do that. But you don't have the right to call for her to be fired. You don't have the right to call for her to be canceled. You don't have the right to say you must apologize or you can't work. Who do you think you are? Who the hell do you think you are? If I had everybody who I disagree with blackballed, if I were in wrestling, I wouldn't be nobody wrestling. There'd be like three guys wrestling. The way the world works, folks. It's not the way the world works. So I'm very disappointed that she apologized, but I do understand it, Tom, because what are you going to do if you're young and you're trying to make it and you step in it? All of a sudden, the mob comes for you.
Well, let me tell you what. I think that I'm going to go by and this, without being too controversial here, but I'm going to go by facts don't care about your feelings. And the fact is that she's 100% correct. Whether you disagree with it or not, you have a right to disagree with it. Fine, this is America. You disagree with whatever you want. But to call for somebody to lose their job before it begins is absolutely is absolute fascist, and this is not Nazi Germany. This is America, and she should. You have to draw the line somewhere, and WWE should really step in and be like, listen, there's no reason for her to apologize. She didn't name a specific person. She said a general statement. She's absolutely right, but this seems to be a pattern because Jackson Riker, William Morrissey, as we all know, is a big pass.
Right.
These are people who had the gall to have an opinion. Not even a recent tweet by Jackson Riker. It was a tweet that was I don't know how many years ago. The one guy that
yeah,
just...
but, you know, and let's make this clear, because I know people are going to confuse this issue, so let's make it very clear. When I say you have the right to your opinion, here's what bothers me. If a wrestler, if tomorrow some wrestler came out and tweeted, I think it's perfectly okay for 8-year-old children to snort cocaine. And I give it to my 8-year-old all the time. Then I would say, that's not an opinion. That is a very, very dangerous point of view. And you need to rethink hiring somebody who says he gives cocaine to his 8-year-old daughter or son. I wouldn't call for him to be fired necessarily. I would call for him to be investigated because that's illegal. But that's what the other side acts like. They act like it's illegal what you're saying. It's illegal for you to say that's not a woman. No, it's not. It's illegal for you to say that Donald Trump is a good president. No, it's not. It's not illegal. Who cares if you like it? I just love that. Yeah, social media is full of it. You know, people are like, oh, I can't wait to go see Kiss's final concert. And then you'll get 4 million trolls saying they suck, they're the worst band of all time. Why are you wasting your time if somebody else enjoys it? You might not want to pay 50 cents to see them. There's people paying $5,000 to see them. If that's what they want to do and they're going to enjoy it, God bless them, let them enjoy it. No, you got to be on social media saying you're an idiot, they suck, they always suck. Oh, God almighty already. Get a life. Grow up. So this woman has the opinion that because she's a woman and has experienced all of what a woman and a girl and as a child is, that you can't just automatically say, I'm 50 and now I'm going to be a woman tomorrow and still be the same as her. That's controversial. That's controversial. I wouldn't even argue that. Let's say I wanted to be trans. I would say, well, I fully realize that I'm not going to have the experience that a woman had. I didn't grow up a girl. I didn't have teenage years as a girl. I didn't, you know, I became a woman at whatever age. So I fully understand that I'm not female in that sense. I'm just saying that I feel more comfortable being identified as that. That's fine. That's fine because you're acknowledging, no, I didn't have your life experiences. No, I didn't go through the things you had to do. No, I don't have my period. But when you're going to sit here and try to force feed people and say, I don't care until you admit a man can have a baby. No, a man can't have a baby. And no, a woman who considers herself a man is not a man because a man cannot have a baby. Because they don't have a uterus. Controversial, that's true. It's not illegal to say, to have that opinion. It's not illegal for you to say, well, technically they can because of, you know, if it was a woman and she transitions into a man and then she doesn't have the sex change completely and then she has the baby, technically it's a man because she says she's a man and she's had a baby. Okay, if that's your opinion, fine. I think that's a dumb opinion. I have a right to think that's a dumb opinion. You have a right to think it's an intelligent opinion. And then we go on with life, because that's the way it goes. I don't say you should be fired because you're a moron. You don't say I should be fired because I'm a misogynist. We just go on with life. Please. Anyway, let me get to some potentially better news. This is a big month for Big E. I guess in the next couple of days, he's going to have some further tests to decide whether it's safe for him to come back to wrestling. Now, Big E has said privately that he's okay with it either way, but he wants to make 100% sure. He's not willing to take a chance. If they say it's a 50-50 thing, 60-40 thing, you might be able to do it, but there's risk, he's probably not going to do it. Because he clearly said, I want there to be 100% no doubt about the fact that I am fit to return to the ring as my normal self, doing what I normally did without running any risk of paralyzation or anything else. Now, of course, any wrestler risks it if you're 100% healthy. But what he's trying to say is, just doing my normal activities, if nothing goes wrong, you know, how would it be? He says he's fine with it either way. He said everything comes to an end eventually. So if this is the end of my career, it is. I accept it and I move on. If it's not, great. Then I'm more than happy to return. That's what he's saying privately. What I'm hearing is that he is most likely going to be cleared to return, and that we could see him as soon as possibly WrestleMania, at least for a very minor appearance. And Jesus, these are life-altering experiences. And I got to tell you something. I became a much bigger – I was always a pretty big Big E fan, actually. I thought he was very charismatic. He's an above-average wrestler for his size and weight and everything. Thought he was a great interview, always one of those people who got the crowd pumped up and stuff. But I've become a much bigger fan of his, and I'll tell you why. It's very easy to be bitter. You had a guy who was a real rookie and green and probably not as trained as he should have been in Ridge Holland, literally, potentially could have ended your career. And remember, when Bret Hart had his career shortened by Bill Goldberg, he's still talking about it to this day. To this day, he's still saying, you know, Bill Goldberg is an idiot. Bill Goldberg did this. Bill Goldberg did that. And he's right. Bill Goldberg did do it. Bill Goldberg did screw up, but he didn't let it go. I have not heard Big E one time say anything else but accidents happen. It's not Ridge Holland's fault. Now, I'm here to tell you it is Ridge Holland's fault. He totally screwed up the move. He didn't do it on purpose. That's correct. But it is his fault. Not one time has this come out of the lips of Big E. Not one time, at least not publicly. And I truly feel that it takes a special kind of person not to be bitter about that and just say, you know what, we're wrestlers, things happen, you know, what's the difference who I was wrestling? It's an accident. It is what it is. I'm not blaming anybody. To me, that shows real character, Tom, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could do it.
Listen, I have nothing but respect for Big E because he was so good at what he did, and he got the crowd pumped. And he might not have been, you know, the best wrestler, but he did what he did, and he got the crowd into it. He never said, not once that I know of, that, you know, it's Rich Holland's fault. I refuse to work with him. He's an idiot. Bret Hart got his career cut short in, what, 2000? It's 23 years later. Now, do I agree with him that Bill Goldberg is not careful? Yes, because Bill Goldberg has continued to do things that could have potentially hurt people, vis-a-vis The Undertaker at Super Showdown, not Super Showdown, Crown Jewel. Dropped The Undertaker on his damn head. Could have broke his neck. Undertaker popped up, and you see the look on his face where he wanted to choked the hell out of Bill Goldberg. I wouldn't have faulted him for it because Bill Goldberg has no skill at what he does, and they've never worked together. So Bret Hart is bitter. He's bitter about everything. I mean, Jesus Christ, he did accuse of Seth Rollins of killing somebody at his school very many years ago. So, but whatever. The fact is that Big E, we all take, as wrestlers, we all take risks whether we do something that could be labeled as potentially dangerous, but we've done it a million times before, or something as simple as an Oklahoma roll. And if you're a listener to this show or know me personally, you know what I'm talking about. It could potentially...
Yeah, look, wrestling accidents happen. But the bottom line is, when you're at the peak of your career and kind of Big E was, and it's cut completely short like that, not to mention, Bret Hart says, okay, it cut my career short, but he went on and wrestled, and he wasn't out that long. Big E's out a long time. It takes a special kind of person to just say, yeah, it's not your fault. So good for him, Mike. You know, it's rare you see someone who truly, truly believes that in, I guess, forgiveness and not blaming people for mistakes.
I love Big E to death, but I love him to death, but this is a guy that basically his thing is power, right? His main thing
yep.
is power, and a good strong neck feeds into that, right? And look,
yes.
we've seen different people come back from neck injuries. Edge had a neck injury. Christian had a neck injury. You know, they've all come back, but they weren't known for being the power guy that Big E is. You know, I've seen Big E nearly break, you know, the Hurt Lock. You know. And that's no
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, that's why I think
so,
that he wants very much to make sure he's 100%. Because the style he wrestles, see, that's a very good point that Mike made. It's very easy to say, well, you know, other people came back with neck injuries. Edge came back with neck injuries. Shawn Michaels had a neck injury. People had neck injuries. Yeah, they did. But their style of wrestling is a little different. Big E with the power. And everything, it's going to be crucial that his neck's at 100%, Todd. And I don't blame him for wanting to be super safe.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, about Big E and everything. If he won't be able to wrestle again, he says he'll have to deal with the retirement thing. And if he is be able to be cleared to wrestle again, he'd be happy about that. On that.
Well, here's my thought on it. I'm going to give it 90-10 that you're going to see Big E in a wrestling ring again. I'm going to give it 90-10. That's how confident I am. And it's going to be a big deal when he does. And it's going to be a very emotional moment, I think, for him. It's going to be a very emotional moment for the fans. And honestly, I think it would be a great – if he can manage to do it, and not really wrestle, just come out and announce that I will be back. That'd be a great WrestleMania moment. A great WrestleMania moment. Now, Derek in the chat room saying, how come The Rock can't do a Hall of Fame speech? He could. He could if he wants to. But I think the WWE figures, if we're going to have him next year, maybe wrestle. Maybe we don't want him to. Maybe we want to save that. If he comes back, we want to make it a big deal. And if people see The Rock this year and then next year, it won't be so big of a deal. So maybe they're figuring, let's just keep it under wraps. Let's not, reveal him until he's ready to actually go or whatever. There's a lot of reasons he may not. Could he physically do it? Of course he could. Of course he could. WWE hasn't asked him to. And that's probably the reason. Now, as far as Ray being inducted and saying Dominic's probably going to jump him, you're probably correct. You're probably correct. And that's probably what's going to lead to him, accepting the match or whatever. Maybe, it would have to be the night before. They'd literally have to say, no publicity on this. We are adding a bonus WrestleMania match. It would be cool because it would look real. Will they do that? Probably not, because they want some advance advertising on it. So that'll probably come in the next week or so. Before we get into SmackDown, there's a couple more things I want to get into in the news. Arn Anderson's son passed away, 37 years old. I don't have any details whatsoever. I have no idea the cause of death. Horrible situation, so our hearts go out to Arn Anderson and his family. What can you say? That's just awful. Absolutely awful. I'm hearing that Warner Discovery is pretty close to signing a television show, a third in-ring television show for AEW. And my first thought on this was, Jesus, you're cutting yourself too thin again. Tony Khan has made what I would consider a lot of rookie mistakes. And I know there's a lot of AEW fans, myself included. And I know that a lot of you listen to this show. And I hear you when you say you're very critical of them. Well, I'm very critical of WWE, too. And I'm a big WWE fan. My job is to be critical. I'm going to tell you when they do something great. I'm going to tell you when they don't. Tony Khan has not done a great job, and I'll tell you why he has not. And I kept saying this all the time that he was doing it. You cannot continue to try to get ratings by just saying, big announcement, signed another person, largest free agent ever, wait till you see who we got. That only works so much before somebody says, yeah, it's not going to be a big deal, I don't care. That's the style you chose. You also chose to sign everyone on the planet, 100 and some odd 60 people, including referees and announcers and things, 160 people on your roster. And you knew you couldn't use them all. You chose to do that. And then when people start complaining, then you say, I need more shows. When your show currently, you have one show that's getting, you know, a million and views, and you have one that's barely scratching 400,000. You're going to put a third one up? And you got Ring of Honor. And yet you're going to put another one up and a reality TV show? How much hunger is there for more AEW content? I would suggest there isn't. And I would suggest you're making a huge mistake. Focus on the shows you have. Make them as good as you can. Trim your roster. You know, it's kind of funny when you say, well, you know, only the elite. We're all elite. Can't be all elite when you've signed 160 people. If you want fans to believe you only signed the cream of the crop, the best you possibly can get, you've got to trim your roster a lot. A lot. And focus on what you've got. A third AEW show. And then a reality TV show. And then your Ring of Honor streaming thing. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Now, both of your shows were doing 2.5 million, 3 million. I'd say maybe there isn't an appetite for it. Go ahead and put on a third show. But let's think of this as a business. You open up a donut shop, Marcus's Donuts, and I'm selling a bazillion donuts a week. And I say, Jesus, I'm doing okay here. I'm going to open up a second shop, and that one sells 1,000 donuts a week. The first thing I say is, uh-oh, maybe I should have just concentrated on the one. Seems like when I got the second one, things started to water itself down. I don't say, I guess I'll open up a third. I'd be thinking about closing the second one, not opening up a third. But this is what Tony Khan's doing. Spreading himself so thin that I fear he's going to overexpose himself. And I'm starting to see rumblings of people who are starting to back away from AEW and say, it was fun for a while. It was cool and fresh and new, but now it is what it is. And I think a lot of the less hardcore fans of that brand are beginning to just kind of fluctuate out and say, I'll watch it once in a while, or I'll catch one show but not the other. Now you're going to add more? I think this is a mistake, Mike. I don't think Tony Khan has done a particularly great job with AEW. You know, he was supposed to be the money man at first. And Cody and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and a couple other people were supposed to run the show. And then it went from that to the money man, the money mark has kind of taken over the show. And now I feel like it's a little kid playing with his action figure collection, and he just wants more and more and more. And he leaves the other ones in the toy box because, they're old. I want the new ones. And I don't see a professionalism here. And I think that's why the WWE has never really sweated AEW very much.
Right, and that's the thing. And I mean, but then again, here's what you got to also think about. You're talking about Warner Discovery, you know, saying, well, we want to pay for a third show. You know, we want to pay. That means They're gonna sign him back. That means they're gonna sign him back, and they're actually thinking of giving him more money. So, you know, forget about the fact that he just put that on the side that he's ran it poorly. If they're thinking about giving him more money for this poorly run thing, then hey, if I'm Tony Khan, I take that money. You know.
See, I don't know if I would, because, yeah, you want to take the money, but then if you fail, it's going to reflect badly on your brand. Again, I'd rather have one donut shop doing great business. Let's just, for the sake of argument, say that Tony Khan said, I'm taking my main show to 3 hours. And to hell with Ring of Honor, to hell with my secondary show. Okay, maybe I'll have the reality show on top of it, but that's it. I think more fans would be interested in that than to say, okay, we're going to there's one on this day, and then there's one on that day, and there's going to be another one on this day. That's too much commitment. Your normal average person has a life, and they say, well, look, I've set aside my plans Monday night to watch Raw, or I've DVR'd it or whatever, and I'll watch it at some point. But when it becomes Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and then you got to double up. There's two on Friday and there's three on Saturday. It's too much. And you say, well, I got to work and I have a lot of social life and I have things I got to do. And I just can't commit myself to saying I work, watch wrestling and sleep. That's all I do. It's too much. It's overexposure. I would be much more on board with Tony Khan going 3 hours and saying we're put on like a little mini, almost like a little mini pay-per-view every week here, folks. It's going to be great. Fine. He's got the people to handle that. But you can't continue this way. I don't think there's an appetite for it. Now, Derek wants me to talk about this betting thing, and I'm very confused. The WWE said, oh, we're trying to get, so you can bet on it. Here's why I'm confused. 3 years ago, you could bet on it. Where is this coming from that this is new? 2.5 years ago, I had a friend of mine walk in my house and say, you're a big wrestling fan, right? I said, yeah, I'm a huge wrestling fan. He said, well, look, I got on some site. You can bet on professional wrestling. And you already know all the winners, so, I mean, you're going to be rich. And I took a look at it and said, yeah, but see what they're doing? They might have one match that is win or lose, but then they say, "Oh, it has to be a by pinfall. If there's a disqualification, if it's a double count out, if it's a count out, if it's a draw, you lose." And then what they did was to say, like, "Okay, it's Brock Lesnar against Kofi Kingston. Okay, well, here's the deal: Brock Lesnar has to win by pinfall in under a certain amount of minutes." And if you bet $50,000, you win $50,008. Well, I'm not betting $50,000 to win $8. Too big of a risk in case the WWE happens to say, well, we want to get a second match out of this, so it's going to be a count out or something. I don't want to take that. Nobody's going to take that chance. The payoffs were so low on the matches they gave you, it wasn't worth the risk. Now, I exaggerate a little bit, but what I'm saying is there were times when it was like, if you bet $1,000, you win like $1,100. Well, who the hell is going to risk $1,000 to win $100? That's dumb. So I don't know what this deal is. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, we may implement it. What do you mean you may implement it? It's been going on forever. It's never stopped as far as I know. Reviews ago, the WWE is saying right now, how many suplexes will be in the Brock Lesnar match, and if you can do the over under and you go right to FanDuel right now and you can bet on it. So what's the big deal? It's always been around, but now they're kind of taking away the win or loss, and they're doing more along the lines of like, how long is the match going to be? Will so-and-so interfere in the match? Those type of things. Because they know there are people who basically understand what the finish is going to be. I mean, how can you possibly do that when their creative team knows what the finish is going to be? All the creative team has to do is say, this is what the finish is going to be. Oh, by the way, go to FanDuel and bet $1 million. Because I've just wrote the finish, so I damn sure know I'm right. So I don't know how that's going to be handled. But I know you could do it for a long time on certain sites. Now, I don't know whether they're saying it's just with one company that they're going to try to have some kind of a merger with that you can only bet through this company. I don't know. Because I didn't really get into this, so I'm not 100% sure on how it works. But I do know that you could bet on professional wrestling for a long, long time. Years. Years. And initially they were doing wins and losses, but the ones they were doing, they didn't do every match. It wasn't like, oh, you could bet on every match. No. They would pick one match. And the payoff would be, if it was a sort of an obvious match, like Kofi Kingston and Brock Lesnar, the payoff is so low, you're not going to bet on it. You're not going to bet $100 to win a dollar. So nobody really did it. Now they're doing, I guess, these other things. But I don't know, Mike. I mean, maybe you know, but I don't know why this is news because, like I said, it's been around for a long time. At least here in New York, you could. You had to go through other sites.
Yeah, but I remember, oh, it had to be 4 or 5 years ago that we had a guy call up and talk to us about that. When we were doing the show 5 years ago, you know, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, we've been doing it. I mean, obviously, the way it sounds is that they're going to make a deal with one particular company. If it's FanDuel, if it's whatever, it's going to be one specific company that they're going to make a – that's the way it sounds to me, though.
Maybe that's it. You know, I haven't – like I said, full disclosure, I haven't followed this. But I do know that originally there were wins and losses involved, and then later on it became situational. Will so-and-so interfere in this match? How many suplexes will be thrown in this match? Other weird things, just like weird things that you're like, okay, well, that's almost like they do in baseball now with, like, how many strikeouts will be in the game, the over-under, how many will this person strike out? You can bet on that now. Or how many yards will this guy rush for, over, under? You can bet on that now. That's sort of what they were doing with pro wrestling, the less predictable things where you say, well, I really don't know how long the match is going to go. Will it go 8 minutes? I don't know. Will it go 10? I don't know. So they might be able to get away with it that way. But if they're going to go strictly on wins and losses, here's where they're going to run into trouble. It's predetermined. I would imagine that's illegal. If someone can control the outcome, how can you bet on it? How can you possibly bet on it? Because you know what that's going to do? That's going to make these fan sites, these fan gambling sites, and the WWE get in bed together and say, well, you know everybody's going to bet on this guy. And maybe we can work out a split of the money. If we get millions of people and millions of dollars on this guy, are you willing to just write the script that he loses? Sure, we'll have him counted out. Big surprise, big upset. That's illegal. That's totally illegal. That would be like me saying, I know who is going to win this horse race because I've paid off every single person in this race to throw the race. And then I'm going to let you bet on all of the other people when I clearly know that they don't have a chance. I would imagine that's illegal in most states, if not all states. I don't think you can bet on predetermined things. I wouldn't see how you could. Even the time of the matches is, to some extent, predetermined. Now, that could shift because some people run over and then they say, now you only have you have a few minutes less or whatever. That could shift. basketball, and I mean, people are going to say, well, they fix these games. Okay, but it's illegal to fix the games. It's not illegal to fix a professional wrestling match. They've always been fixed. So I don't see how you can do it. It would be like saying, we're making a new movie, and it's going to have, I don't know, Steven Seagal in it. And we haven't made the movie yet, but we're taking bets on, will Steven Seagal live? And it's 500-1 that he'll live. And you say, okay, well, yeah, he always lived, so I guess I'm going to bet on he lives. And they say, make the movie that he loses, that he dies, and we'll make all the money. We were going to have him live, but let's wait and see what the betting odds are. Ah, the betting odds are is that he lives? Okay, he dies. Well, that's illegal. It's totally fixed. You can control it. If you can control it, how the hell are you going to have people betting on it? You're basically stealing their money. You're basically stealing their money. So I don't see how this is going to work. The way it worked before, at least, was that the betting odds were so ridiculously weak that it was just there in case you just wanted to make it more exciting. Oh, I'm betting $10 on John Cena to win, and I'll win, you know, 50 cents. Oh, yeah, he won. I'm 10.75 up from my $10. Okay. That was just to be have fun. Serious gamblers aren't going to do that. Gamblers are not going to do that. Plus, if you want to keep your show PG, it's going to be hard to start promoting gambling. Like Major League Baseball games don't say, and by the way, come and bet on this game. They don't do that. You can bet on the game, but they don't broadcast it. They don't say, go to this site right now. You know, in between pitches, they don't say, you know, folks, if he can strike out three more people, that's going to do the over on the over-under. Go to the fan site and bet. No, they don't do that. WWE would be likely to do that and say, oh, we partnered with so-and-so, and you can go bet on this. That is not a good look. I don't see how they're going to do it, Tom, because, you know, the WWE can control the outcome. All they have to do is look at the odds and say, well, which is the one that's going to make us the most money if we've decided to go in on it, a 50-50, and then change the result.
Yeah, and WWE has, you know, has the ability, whether it's you know, necessary or pre-planned, to change the match on the fly. With, you know, it's a very unpredictable. People could get hurt. They could change the outcome of the match. The referees have the earpieces in their head, so it's like, hey, so and so is hurt. He can't, you know, go on with the finish of the match. Let's just end it. That they could do that. They could even fabricate something like that. So that doesn't make any sense. And for anybody to bet, you know, an exorbitant amount of money on professional wrestling and think they're going to, you know, have a get rich quick scheme is outrageous and silly.
See, and here's the difference, because I know a lot of people are going to say, well, you said they were doing it before. If they're doing it before, what's to stop them from doing it again? Here's the difference. If I tell you a new Steven Seagal movie's coming out, it's already been made, but it's not been released. I want to take bets on whether Steven Seagal lives. I don't know. And you don't know. The movie's already been made. They can't change it, so it's been made. So that's a fair bet. But if I'm making the movie, how can I literally pal up with a company to take bets, and then me and the guy from the company get our heads together and say, well, oh, most people are betting he lives. Okay, I'll make the ending he dies. You guys will make a fortune. You give me a kickback on the money. What's to stop me from doing that? Say there's a Marcus Kane's gambling site, and Mike has a movie company, and he makes these action movies. And I'm taking bets on it. And he partners up with me. and I say, hey, Mike, is this guy living in the movie? No, he's dying. Ah. Well, look, the betting odds say he's dying, so you're not going to make any money. You're going to have to pay out all this money. And that's not too good. And then I'm going to have to pay out all this money. Mike can say to me, okay, I'll have him live, and we'll split the money. I'll change my movie. I'll have him live, and we'll split the money. How's that sound? Sounds great. Well, you know what that's called? That's racketeering. That's racketeering. You can't do it. It's illegal. And there's nothing that could stop them. And if the FBI or whoever the hell else that investigates this stuff wanted to go in, all they have to say is, well, professional wrestling's always been rigged. We didn't change anything. How can you prove they changed it? You can't. So I don't know how this is going to work, Mike. It doesn't sound like it's a winning venture.
You know, when they write movies, they go through how many editions of the script,
right,
and how many, you know, this guy, you got the main character and the secondary character and all this guy, and he may live, he may die, he may, hell, you could, your scenario here is the whole thing with these action movies, the guy living or die. They could even say, okay, he's not gonna do either. He's gonna end up in a coma.
Right, and then my point is this, Mike. If you're the movie maker, I'm the gambling site. You and me both get together, and you say, well, you're gonna make a ton of money, Marcus, if I change my movie based on what's bet on. So you got to kick me back 50%, and I say that's fine because I'm still going to make a ton of money. That's racketeering. That's illegal. However, if Tom wants to open up a betting site and he don't know who you are and he don't know who I am, and you've already made the movie, and I've never seen the movie, it's not been released, and Tom's gambling site wants to take a bet on it, then that's fair because nobody knows. You can't change the movie. It's been made. He don't know you, so he's not in cahoots with you. He don't know me. So Tom's gambling site is perfectly fair to do that because he don't know the result. He's in as much in the dark as you are. It's like spinning a roulette wheel. We don't know what number's going to come up. But if you damn sure know black, you know, is coming up and you take bets on red, you're racketeering. Simple as that. So I don't know how that's going to work. Anyway, let me get to SmackDown because the crux of this show was supposed to be, we got sidetracked a little bit, but the crux of this show was supposed to be, is the Bloodline storyline really coming to an end or is it just beginning? And I got to tell you, I'm starting to smell just beginning. And let me explain my theory and then I'll let you guys decide for yourselves and I'll go to the panel and see what they think. The big thing, obviously, that happened this week is that Jey Uso gives a speech and basically says, what did you want me to do? This is my brother. You're not family. You never were family. And it's an easy choice between my brother and you. Sounds good, but when the WWE writes something, they write it purposely, I would hope at least. And there's two things I caught in his speech that makes me think something's up. Number one is he clearly said twice, I didn't want to do it. Well, if you really think that it was Sami Zayn's fault this whole thing happened, and you really think that Sami Zayn is selfish and horrible and terrible and took advantage, you would want to do it. Right? You'd be anxious to do it. You'd say, you wouldn't stalk around for weeks thinking about it. You'd say, hey, man, no brainer. You're not blood. You're a selfish bastard. You did what you did, and you're facing the consequences. That's not what Jey did. And he clearly said, I didn't want to do it. Then the second thing I noticed is he said, this is only one person's fault, and he hesitated a long time before he said, it's Sami Zayn. Clearly indicating that he almost was going to say it's Roman Reigns. Thirdly, in the beginning of SmackDown, when Paul Heyman was saying, I'm glad you're here and everything, and you're going to take care of Cody Rhodes tonight, and you're going to take care of whatever, Jey Uso clearly says to him, you tell the tribal chief I'm here, and he didn't say it in a nice way. He wasn't smiling, saying, of course I'm here. You tell Roman I got his back, you know, 24-7. He didn't say that. He said, you tell him I'm here. There's more to this story, in my opinion. I think when we saw Jey Uso hug Sami Zayn, that was also a tip-off that I don't want to do this, but I'm not going to let my brother be punished because Roman is a selfish bastard. I think everything he was saying about Sami, he meant for Roman, but he didn't say the words. Something is going to manifest itself at WrestleMania. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but I have a weird feeling that if Roman Reigns loses at WrestleMania, it might be due to Jey Uso, and a different bloodline storyline is going to come up. Surprise me if Jimmy and Jey were at ringside during the final match with Cody Rhodes, and when the referee is distracted by Jimmy, you know, trying to help Roman, Jey super kicks Roman? No, it would not surprise me. It would not surprise me at all. Because then Jey Uso could clearly say, I had to say this for my brother. I had to say this to get us away from him. I knew that night at Elimination Chamber, Roman Reigns is not the guy I want to follow anymore. But I didn't want my brother to be punished for it. So I had a lot of thinking to do, and this is what I had to do. And, you know, I'm sorry I had to do that to Sami, but you have to do what you have to do. I have a feeling we're going to see a different sort of a bloodline storyline. I almost have a feeling that we might end up seeing the Usos against Roman Reigns and Solo at some point. The reason I say this, even though it's supposed to be Sami Zayn versus Jey Uso next week, that's what I'm hearing on SmackDown, still say there is a fly in the ointment because the storyline makes no sense. If Jey Uso truly felt that Sami Zayn was selfish and overstepped his bounds, he would have attacked him at the Elimination Chamber. He didn't. If he truly felt that way, he would have attacked him the other two or three times that he's come down into the ring. He didn't. If he felt that way, he would have said so outside when he met Sami Zayn, and Sami said, well, I acknowledge you, but I don't acknowledge Roman. He would have said, look, man, you're being selfish and this, that, and the other thing. He didn't do any of that. He didn't do any of that. So Sami Zayn wasn't being selfish by challenging Roman Reigns for the title, but he was being selfish defending his friend. I don't buy it. And I don't think that's logical, and I don't think that the WWE would write that, even though they write illogical stuff. And the giveaways, like I said, is Jey Uso's pause between it's only one person's fault. Count the seconds. Why would you write that? If you're a writer, you would just say, okay, Jey, you go out there and say, the only person I blame for this is Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's a selfish bastard, and Sami Zayn did this to himself. It's not what Jey Uso said. He said, I only blame one person for this. And then there's a long pause. And he puts the microphone to his mouth and then takes it down. Finally, he says, Sami Zayn. Why the long pause? He was told to do the long pause. He was told to do it. Why are you told to do it? He was told to give Sami Zayn the hug. Why do it? Sami Zayn was standing right next to him. He could have kicked him at any time. Why do it? Why give Paul Heyman the attitude? There's no reason. Why say, and clearly it was written, I didn't want to do this? Said it twice. And then he told the whole audience, you're not going through what I'm going through. You don't understand. I think these are all hints, Mike, that there's more to this story than meets the eye right now.
Right, and that's the thing. And think about this. Sami Zayn, it's almost like Sami Zayn has the entire world against him, right? He can't get his friend, other than Cody, who came out and helped him last week on Monday, whatever it was. it seems like the entire world is against Sami Zayn. He doesn't have his friends. He doesn't have the bloodline. He doesn't have Kevin Owens, you know. And so, everything stacked up against Sami Zayn. And by having Jay Duke say what he said, that gives you the pause that says, well, there are a lot, maybe even both Usos are a lot closer to Sami Zayn than they want us to think.
Something's definitely going on, Tom, and I'll tell you why. Let's just say the story is what the story is. And Jey Uso is still a heel with his brother. They lose to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. What's the story from there? Where's the story go? Roman loses his title, the Usos lose their title, and then what? There's no story. But if Jey Uso, who they clearly have tested to see if the crowd will get behind him, and the crowd roars when he does something good, if Jey Uso were to flip and say, I disagree with everything Roman did, me and my brother are out, you got a big storyline again. You got Roman Reigns saying, how dare they desert me? Solo and myself will take care of it. Then you got Solo in the mix saying, who do I side with to a certain extent? You've got another story to tell. There is no other story to tell if everything stays the way it stays. But if they do as what I'm saying, you have another story to tell that could last months and months. And I just think the WWE is not going to write to a dead end. I would hope their writers don't write to a dead end. So that's why I think there's more to this than meets the eye.
Oh, for sure, 100%. And, you know, my spidey senses went up when Jey Uso had that dramatic long pause, and I'm like, okay, something's up. And this has – anybody can say what they want, but in my opinion, there's no way that this doesn't have Paul Heyman written on it, because he's obviously a part of the storyline, has been for a long time. There's no way he's not going to be. So he could they could write in that he could manipulate somehow or do something where it backfires, causing the Usos to turn on Roman and Solo. There could be something where Paul Heyman orchestrates it and turns on Roman Reigns. It could really go a certain number of ways. And as wrestling fans, the fact that we don't know where it's going is what we thrive on, because we don't want it to be predictable. So the fact that we're...
Yes, see, again, if you want to give me branches on the tree, then give me this, because then we have Solo is the heel, Roman's the heel. The storyline shifts from my cousins deserted me. My family deserted me. For that, they're going to be crushed. The other part of that storyline is saying, the Usos saying, we didn't desert you. You used us, and now we refuse to be used anymore. Okay, we're not your toys. We're not your henchmen. We were supposed to be cousins. And Sammy was right when he said family doesn't do that. Family doesn't intimidate you and threaten you and tell you you have to do this or this is going to happen. Family doesn't do that. That's when we opened our eyes and realized we're not doing this anymore. What does that lead to? Well, it leads to a big feud. And then what does that lead to? Maybe Solo also leaves Roman Reigns. And once all of that happens, guess what you end up with? Roman Reigns finally being able to say, I lost my entire family. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, and maybe goes away for a little while, and when he comes back, totally new attitude of saying, this time, we're all equal here. There's no tribal chief. We're just blood. And then you've got a face group that everybody's going to like. And then you've got a whole big ring with them as faces. You can squeeze more juice out of this orange. There's a lot of juice in this orange. You just got to play it right. So it's very hard for me to believe that you're going to squeeze it all out at WrestleMania and toss it away. Because if it ends up being Roman's not a champion, the Usos are not a champion, what the hell's the storyline? What's the storyline? There isn't one. Probably what we're going to see, I think there's much more to this Bloodline storyline. It's the hottest thing going. They'd be stupid to kind of just end it.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, with this whole Bloodline storyline thingy going on. Well, like you said, I think it's not the beginning. It's just like in the middle of this whole thing, like the middle of the movie or the storyline.
That's what I think too. I think we got a lot more to go, unless they're stupid, which the WWE can be. They can be stupid. So we'll see. Next thing I want to talk about on SmackDown, I know a lot of people want to talk about the Wyatt thing. I'll try to get into that in a minute. I know a lot of people are saying that Bray Wyatt has expressed his displeasure with the WWE recently. I told you they blew his angle. I told you he had a storyline and they rejected it. I told you that they screwed up the whole thing and he's not going to be happy about it. Well, now apparently he's not. We'll get into that if we have time. Sheamus, backstage, don't know if you saw it on that SmackDown Extra, but Sheamus backstage had maybe one of the best promos I've ever seen him do. He was livid with Drew McIntyre, but he made a good point. He said, this is the way it has always been through my whole career. All that man wants to do is copy me. I'm the Celtic Warrior. He's the Scottish Warrior. I have the brogue kick. He has the Claymore. He just copies everything I do. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of him, you know, trying to be me or just copy me. However, I think there's more to this story, too. They're clearly making it look like Sheamus is correct. Clearly making it look that way. So either Drew McIntyre's turning heel, which I think would be a bad idea, or Drew McIntyre is going to strike the major blow to whoever loses, which would be Gunther, to Gunther, and he's going to let Sheamus take the win and put an end to the feud, where he's going to say, I know it means that much to you. You finish it off. I can see that happening, almost like Sami Zayn did with Jey Uso. Remember when he hit Kevin Owens with a haluva kick and then told Jey, you go ahead and do it. You go ahead and do the splash. I can see the Claymore kick getting hit. And Gunther, you know, out, but starting to stir. And Drew McIntyre pointing to Sheamus and say, finish it off. And either stand in the corner or jump out of the ring and let Sheamus have the victory. I see it. I could see that coming. They're clearly going to have the three-way. They're saying they're not going to have the three-way. They are going to have the three-way. I'm almost going to guarantee you they're having the three-way. I know supposedly next week it's Drew against Sheamus to decide who's going on. It's going to be both of them. I don't know how the hell they're going to work it, but it's going to be both of them. And I think that might be what's on the agenda for WrestleMania, only because Sheamus has never held that belt. And I think that they want to keep Drew a face. And I think they want Gunther to get out of that title because they want him to go for the bigger title. So that would make sense. It was a really good, I don't know if you got to see it, Mike, but Sheamus made a good point. He's right. Celtic Warrior, Scottish Warrior, Brogue Kick, Claymore Kick. There is a lot of similarities.
A lot of similarities. And look, here's the deal with that. You look at it, and you look at it when he came out to do the match, how did they do it? They say, well, representing the Raw and Brutes is Sheamus. So obviously,
right,
that's the point, they're going to put those three guys back together. Obviously. So,
yep.
But that won't be until he wins the title. And yeah, he's going to win that title. I don't know how they're going to get to the three-way unless they do one of these things where it's like, oh, you know, there's a double pin and it's very obvious you got an arm or one guy's arm is on the other guy and the other guy's leg is on the first guy or whatever. I don't know how they're going to get there, you know, to the pin. It can't be a submission. It's going to have to be a pinfall, right? You know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I got this weird feeling. that we might see something weird, Mike, like they're battling it out and Imperium comes out to watch, and then Imperium gets involved by, like, kicking the hell out of Drew McIntyre on the outside of the ring, and Sheamus comes out to actually defend McIntyre, and then it gets into a brawl, and everybody's counted out, and then they're going to tell Gunther, well, it's your fault. Then Adam Pearce will say, well, you said there has to be a solo person to fight you, contender, not contenders. Well, then you should have stayed out of it. Now the match is a draw or a no contest. It's the fault of Imperium, so guess what? You're fighting them both. I could see that maybe happening. Either way, I think it is going to be a three-way. I know they really wanted that, and there's nothing for the other guy. If Sheamus loses, what's Sheamus going to do at WrestleMania? If Drew McIntyre loses, what's Drew going to do at WrestleMania? Nothing. They're not going to have that. Now, we should be patting ourselves on the back because we called this. We said Santos Escobar has to come out with the rest of his clique and confront Judgment Day. That's what has to happen. And lo and behold, Tom, that's exactly what happened on this week's SmackDown.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I didn't think that they were going to let Ray do his speech. But the fact that they interrupted him, and then the Escobar came out, I thought that was pretty cool. They're not. What the problem with this is, to me, is that the Judgment Day, Finn is obviously the weaker, or Finn and Damian Priest are obviously the weaker two. So then, why are they even involved? Let it just be Dominic.
I don't know why they're getting involved in the feud other than Dominic's a part of the Judgment Day, but they're not trying to make Finn and Damian weaker. They're trying to make them, equal, but they're not doing a good job of it. They should have let probably a Legado de Fantasma take this match. It wouldn't have hurt to have, a quick roll-up on somebody when there was a distraction or something. They didn't have to take it cleanly, but since Dominic beat Santos before, I think this probably should have went his way this time. It didn't, but Mike, we called this. We said this is a potential good feud for the Judgment Day past WrestleMania, and it still might be.
And it still might be, and that's the thing. And look, you've got three men and a woman. Now, granted, there's not very much they can. I mean, they want to keep her. They want to keep Rhea Ripley strong. But who's? I mean, what's her name? Zelina Vega is good enough in the ring that she can be that speed person that can keep Rhea Ripley, who is the strength person, on the run for a while, right? So. That too is a good matchup.
And at least, if not, at least she can keep Rhea from interfering if they're both outside. You know, if Rhea Ripley jumps up on the ring apron, she can at least haul her down or whatever. So there's somebody there that can fight back against her, so it makes some sense. I would have had El Legado de Fantasma win this match. Again, it should have been because of a distraction from Rey. See, I think that's what I probably would have done, is I would have had Ray distract Dominic, or Dominic be distracted by Ray, and then boom, Dominic gets a quick roll-up, 1, 2, 3. I know they wanted to keep Dominic strong until Ray, but that would have furthered the feud, because then Dominic could have said, that was an embarrassing loss, and it was my dad's fault. Just like everything in my life was my dad's fault, this is my dad's fault, too. How dare he stay out at ringside and distract me, when clearly it was Dominic who was yelling at Ray and being distracted. That would have been a good setup. They chose not to do it. It is what it is. You know, we'll see. The rest of SmackDown, I'm not going to say it was weak, but rather than to go into all of the rest of the stuff, because most of the stuff was pretty average, the Rhea Ripley, Charlotte thing, you could have done such a better job with this. such a better job. And now it's just about Rhea Ripley saying, oh, you're scared of me, and Charlotte Flair saying, woo, I'm not scared of anybody, I'm the champ. It's boring. It's not working for me. I think the match will be good, but, man, your buildup is really lacking. I do want to talk about the Bray Wyatt situation. There is absolutely a zero doubt that this Bray Wyatt thing has shit the bed. And, again, there's no bigger Bray Wyatt fan than me. But once again, I know what has happened. I called it last week, and I'm telling you this is – I don't know it for a fact, but I'm telling you this is the logical reason it's done it. Bray Wyatt clearly said, keep an eye on this storyline because it's much deeper than you think. This is going to go way deeper than you think with who Uncle Howdy is and the other people and everything. It's going to go into a very deep whatever. It's not went into anything deep. There's nothing deep. We still don't know who he is. It doesn't even matter at this point. There's no way Bray Wyatt had this in mind when he was doing what he was doing. Someone has taken it away from him and said, this is what we're doing now. That's why you're hearing that Bray Wyatt's unhappy and hasn't shown up to a couple of things, and that's why you're hearing it. He's not happy because every single time that he has an idea, they screw him. And then the fans blame Bray Wyatt and say, oh, he never delivers. He doesn't deliver because he always gets cut off at the knee. No, he's not going to have a five-star match because he's not a five-star wrestler. That doesn't matter. You know how many wrestlers were not five-star wrestlers who delivered really good matches because the buildup was so good? I mean, Andre the Giant against Hulk Hogan was not a five-star match. The buildup was so good, it was a two-star match that fans were so into, it felt like a five-star match because how much they were into it. Bray Wyatt always gets cut off at the knees. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's his own fault. Maybe he crosses lines where they say, well, we can't show this on TV, or we can't allude to this on television, or this is going to get our sponsors taken away from us. I don't know. But I would imagine Bray Wyatt's intelligent enough to understand he has to write within a certain or come up with ideas within a certain restrictions. And I'm guessing that Bray Wyatt didn't say, wouldn't it be a good idea if Uncle Howdy gives me all kinds of trouble and keeps telling me that he's basically against me and even gives me his sister Abigail in the ring and then defends me at Elimination Chamber and then gets his ass whooped by Bobby Lashley? I'm pretty sure he didn't write that or didn't have that concept. Pretty sure. So you're right. No, the Bray Wyatt thing is it sucks. And boy, I'll tell you, he's going to have a hard time pulling this out. You had lightning in a bottle, and once again, the WWE blows a sure thing. This is the legacy of the WWE. And that's why you can't count on the Bloodline storyline going on farther. That's why you can't count on certain things from the WWE, because they have a legacy of creating something that the fans are so into, it's ridiculous, and then destroying it and ruining it with their own stupidity. And once again, you've done it. I know a lot of Bray Wyatt fans are, I'm just disgusted with this angle. I'm bored with it. It's done. It's finished. It went nowhere. They gave us all those QR codes. And there was all kinds of cool things happening, and we really thought The Fiend was coming back, and we thought it was going to be a really big deal, and it's just turned out to be nonsense. You're right. But there's nobody in this world that's going to convince me that this was the master plan. There's nobody in this world that's going to convince me that before Bray Wyatt signed his name on a contract, they said, this is where this is leading. I don't buy it. There was a plan, and they cut it off at the knees. I guarantee you the WWE convinced Bray Wyatt he was going to have creative control to a large degree. He came up with probably a twisted and complex storyline. And then the WWE said, oh, it's taking too long. We're nixing this, and we're just going with this. And now we're at this stage where nobody cares. Disaster, Tom. I mean, they couldn't have done a worse job with this.
Really is, you know, unmitigated disaster. And honestly, it's not Bray Wyatt's fault because, I mean, WWE knows what kind of creativity he brings to the table. And they knew this from the get-go. They knew this way back when he was doing – this is not the first time he's steered to the direction that he was steering in when he first made his comeback. This is something that he's good at. And to cut him off at the knees and everything he comes up with, you cannot convince me that the end game for the end result for Bray Wyatt was Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley. You cannot convince me of that. And anybody who believes that, I got a bridge I can tell you real cheap. The fact of the matter is that they really, what they should have done with this gigantic buildup is said, the way we're going to get Bray Wyatt back and make this kind of impact is to just let him do what he's going to do. Because that's what fans want to see. And in the interest of business, or what's best for business, as Triple H and Vince always say, is let him do what he's going to do. Because that's what the fans want to see. And if the fans want to see it, really makes what Triple H and McMahon want to see. The fans
were eating out of the palm of his hand with all these QR codes and the white rabbit thing and everything. It was 100% going over like gangbusters, to the point where it was literally like the sensation of the internet. There were non-wrestling sites reporting that the WWE's use of these QR codes for marketing at this wrestler and everything was setting records on how many people were flooding to the internet and stuff. They had this thing in the palm of their hands, Mike, and they couldn't resist. It's like, hold my beer. How much can I ruin another one? And here's the third time they've ruined Bray Wyatt.
Yep, and think about this. We've talked about Bray Wyatt, but them ruining Bray Wyatt plays into the fact of what's happened to Alexa Bliss. It's not just them doing this to Bray Wyatt. I mean, Alexa Bliss is all but disappeared. Where is she?
Yeah, she's on hiatus from the WWE. They're not saying how long or why. I don't know what the speculation is. You know, some people are speculating she might be pregnant or what. I don't know. What I do know is maybe she's going to show up as a surprise at WrestleMania or something, but right now she's on hiatus, and they say there's no immediate plan to bring her back, so I don't know. What I do know is rather than have Edge just keep coming back and coming back and coming back to fight Finn Balor, I know one's on SmackDown and one's on Raw, but you couldn't have had Wyatt's family sort of fleshed out by now to go against Judgment Day? Or at least, if you had Dominic, I know you had him all queued up for Rey, that's fine. And you have Rhea queued up for Charlotte, that's fine. You couldn't have had Damian Priest and Finn Balor against Bray and Uncle Howdy or whatever. You couldn't do that. I mean, there are plenty of other opponents Edge could have went on to. So, yeah, again, I don't know. In order to use Bray Wyatt correctly, you have to minimize how much he wrestles, which you were doing, but you have to maximize his storylines and make sure they make sense, they're complex, but they're decipherable, and they slowly, week by week, inch by inch, progress. You didn't do that. So fans grew tired of the storyline, and then you panicked behind the scenes and said, they're growing tired of this, forget it, it's taking too long, just cut to the chase, and now the chase makes no sense. Because one week Uncle Howdy is trying to kill Bray Wyatt, and the next week he's defending him. There's no fleshing out of who the hell Uncle Howdy is, why he's doing this to Bray Wyatt, nothing. There is no payoff, zero. And some of this is the fans' fault, because I heard fans saying, well, this is taking too long. Calm the F down. If you just let the damn thing play out, they might have let him do it. But no, you got to have instant gratification. Oh, if it takes more than 3 weeks, then we're bored with it. Calm down. They rushed this thing. You can tell they rushed this thing. I mean, when Bray Wyatt first appeared, what happened? We saw characters of the Rabbit and the Vulture and Sister Abigail and all of them. We even saw the Fiend momentarily. So it was quite obvious that all of these Bray Wyatt characters together, something was going to happen. And then they just cut it down to Uncle Howdy, and that's it. Whatever Bray Wyatt had in mind was probably nixed. And now we just get this. And Uncle Howdy, I guess, I don't know why Bray Wyatt would be so afraid of Uncle Howdy if he's a punching bag. You'd think, oh, well, Uncle Howdy, he comes out in this smoke, and Alexa Bliss looks terrified, and other people are, like, terrified of what is that thing. And then Bobby Lashley's just like, oh, just the thing, I'll crush him. Oh, look, that was easy. He's a jabron. Okay, well, that's not good. That's not good. That's not good writing. That's terrible writing. Terrible writing. So I don't know what to tell you. I think you need to nix the whole Bray Wyatt thing. I think you need to bring the Fiend back instantly. Instantly. And if you don't want to bring the Fiend back, at least bring the old cult leader Bray Wyatt back and start the cult. If you really wanted to build a family, you should have had all these wrestlers introduced before Bray even showed up. Not as Bray Wyatt, family members. Well, we added this person to the roster and this person to the roster. And maybe they get a win or two over minor talent. And then when Bray comes in, he fights them. And for each one he wins, each one he beats kind of joins them and changes their image and changes their persona into something darker. Or it's like, Jesus Christ, he's recruiting people. He beats them and then they join him. Something, anything. Or just have him come back as the Fiend. Have him come back as a sweater vest wearing character and just, that's how I'm going to, you know, be from now on. This is the new me. And then when something bad happens to him, well, the Fiend comes out. No, you had to let him start the complex storyline and then chop it off at the knees so it looks like you had nothing. And that's what it looks like. It looks like you had nothing. Guarantee that's not the case. You had to have something. So I don't know, Mike. I don't know if they can pull this thing out of the fire, but right now it's looking pretty weak.
I don't know if they can pull it out of the fire either. And it is looking weak. And here's the deal, and you know, and that's what I'm going to say on that. But here's another thing with the whole bloodline thing. You said last week on this broadcast that things are starting to soften between Naomi and the WWE. And if that's the truth, then let's see, WrestleMania is in how many weeks? And the new storyline is going to probably start at WrestleMania or after WrestleMania. And that's about the time, if what we're talking about is true about Naomi and things are starting to soften, that's about the time when Naomi comes back. And if Naomi comes back and the Usos, Jimmy and Jay are faces at the time, there's a good chance you put her together with Jimmy and Jay, if that's the case. But
yeah.
You know,
it's very possible that they have something like that in mind. It's very possible. I mean, she could even be the person that convinces the Usos they're wrong, that Sami Zayn wasn't wrong. You know, you never know what's coming. I do know this. I'm tired of giving the WWE benefit of the doubt and then they disappoint me. But even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while, and I cannot believe that the WWE would throw away their top storyline, maybe that they've ever done, after WrestleMania and say, well, there's going to be no more real bloodline where Roman's losing the belt and the Usos are losing the belt and that's kind of the end of it. And then, you know, we're just going to fade that out. I don't believe that. You'd have to be almost insane to do that. You'd have to be almost insane to kill the golden goose. So there's got to be more to this story. And the only variable in the story is Jey Uso. So that's why I'm saying I think that Jey Uso is going to be the key to the storyline going on farther and getting and taking a different turn. And if I were to have to bet on it, I would bet that it's Jey Uso's going to be the one to convince his brother, Roman never treated us right. I said it was Sammy's fault, but I really meant Roman, and we need to split from them. And then they just tell Roman right to his face. And Roman reacts badly, and maybe Solo sticks with Roman, and you've got a battle of the bloodline for a little while. And then I still say, branches on the tree, there's still a lot of time for Solo to kind of see that, yeah, you know what, those guys were right. And Roman to be the lone guy saying, my whole family deserted me. Roman gets what's coming to him. His whole family deserts him. He realizes his mistake. He comes back as a sympathetic character who says, I can't believe what I did to my family. I can't believe, you know, the shame I put upon my family and my family's name. And you got to face. Or if you can carry this on long enough to the next WrestleMania, you got The Rock there, then that could be the final chapter where The Rock says, you brought disgrace on the family. Your whole family turned on you. And at WrestleMania, I'm going to prove to you that you're not the tribal chief. You need to sit back at the other end of the table and realize that what you did was wrong. Then if The Rock wins, big deal. He's not winning the title. And then Roman Reigns could be, recalcitrant and say, oh, well, I was wrong. I couldn't see it. Now I see it. I can't believe what I did to my cousins and everything, and I don't blame them for hating me. And, you know, then they can come to some kind of reunion, and you got a face group. It works, and it's going to take you maybe a whole year to get to that point. But you'll have a whole year of great bloodline stories because you can't kill the golden goose, and this is all you got now. If you throw away the bloodline story, what is the next big story that everybody's interested in? Yay, Sammy got his moment. Where do we go from here? Yay, Cody got his moment. Where do we go from here? Nowhere. There's no other storylines, folks. So, Mike, I think it has to be that way. I can't imagine it being any other way.
Right. I can't see it being any other way. And if it's this way, again, if it's any other way, then all we're talking about with Naomi is, well, we know that whole story, right? And we've heard that things are starting to soften between her and the WWE. So if it's any other way but what we're talking about, where does that leave Naomi?
Right. And again, let's say Jey turns and his brother's like, I can't believe you did that. You know, and he's still with Roman for a little bit. And then Naomi comes back and her thing is, your brother was right. Your brother is right. And then he finally sees the light. Maybe Roman disrespects Naomi or something, and Jimmy's like, yeah, I ain't having that. And then you got the second guy defected. Now you got the Usos back together. That could take months to do that. Okay, you got the Usos back together, and now they're faces, and the bloodline versus the bloodline is up next. That's going to take months. And then maybe Solo sees the light and says, the hell with you. Who do you think you are? I'm not your slave or whatever. And then, boy, you got Roman Reigns against Solo. And that takes a while. And then when Solo finally defects from that and Roman's all out on his own, that's going to take a while into WrestleMania. You have The Rock come in and, teach him a lesson. And then Roman disappears for a little while and comes back recalcitrant saying, I can't believe what I've done. You know, I look back at it, doesn't even look like it's me. I can't believe I disgraced my family. Boom. And then you've got a reunion. So there you go. There's a year of bloodline stories right there. If they end it, Tom, they have to be insane.
Yeah, it's definitely ill-advised. And if they end it, not only are they insane, but they are going to lose a huge part of their target audience that tunes in to see just the bloodline every single week.
Yep, that's right.
And there is a good size of that audience that is there for the bloodline. And that is the hottest story, the hottest faction, you name it. It's the hottest anything that the WWE has had in, I'd say, probably 10 years.
I agree with you. Now, I'm going to start with Todd on the rating for SmackDown, so you can't just say I agree with you. Give me a rating, Todd, on this week's SmackDown. A to
I'm
A to F,
give it,
what would you rate it?
I'm going to give it an A.
He liked it. Okay, so Todd was totally into it. Tom, what's your rating this week on SmackDown?
SmackDown, I'm gonna give an A to SmackDown because I loved the Jey Uso thing where he had the dramatic pause and it really left the door open. But what I really liked, what stuck out about SmackDown to me that gave it an A for me was Sheamus's promo.
Jameson's promo was excellent, no question. Mike, what's your rating this week?
I got to give it a little bit worse. I'm going to go with an A-. But the other thing that I liked is what Charlotte said to Rhea Ripley. I got me a Latina that calls me mommy.
Yeah, I think that was last week, though. I don't think that was this week. I'm going to give it a B-, and I'm going to tell you why. I think the Legado de Fantasma should have won to continue this feud. And I think everything other than the Jey Uso thing was a little bit just plain Jane. So I'm going to give it a B-. It wasn't terrible, but I think it could have been better. Anyway, folks, we'll be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.